Welcome to Piedmont Arts. I'm Rachel Stewart.
Shakespeare should not be for the elite. We don't think it's a luxury. I mean, for me, art needs to be every day. Art needs to be public. Art is not something that you aspire to when you have a certain amount of wealth or a certain amount of free time.
One of the Triad's newest arts organizations, Piedmont Shakespeare Company, is bringing Shakespeare's Much Ado About Nothing to our area in the month of June. In just a moment, we'll talk to one of the founders about why he and his colleagues started the company and the importance of enjoying Shakespeare anytime, but especially in the summer. We'll also get some great ideas for things to do in our area with Phil Vavra's Fanfare, and that is coming up in a few minutes. When the Triad area lost the North Carolina Shakespeare Festival and Triad Stage, there was unmet demand for high-quality theater experiences in the community. So to help fill that void, a new organization was formed in 2024 and 2025. Piedmont Shakespeare Company was founded by veteran theater professionals and faculty members at UNC School of the Arts and Elon University to offer live professional summer Shakespeare theater at locations around the Triad. They are about to launch their second season, which will feature Much Ado About Nothing, and they will be playing at various venues. We'll talk about that in just a minute. One of the founders is here to talk to me today. His name is David McGraw. He is Piedmont Shakespeare Company's executive director. And David, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
This is such a recent company. It's been formed so recently. Tell us a little bit about why you and your co-founders wanted to create this summer Shakespeare experience.
There are so many great artists in North Carolina, but many of us have needed to go elsewhere in the summer because of the loss of NC Shakes, Triad Stage, other arts organizations in the region. Although the universities can often provide some employment during the year, many people find themselves heading north, say, in the summertime, and really wanted to have this community of artists who could stay here year-round. And we can stay here with our families, and we can make art for our neighbors. So that's really the drive behind the organization.
So there was a hole that needed to be filled, both for employment and also because the community lost these other theater outlets.
Absolutely. And, you know, all of our shows are free, and we wanted to make it available to the full community. Everything seems to be going up in prices these days. So to have something where everyone can afford to see the show, we have some of the other inclusivity options. So we have an ASL interpreted performance. We have two performances in which we provide free childcare. We just want to make it possible that everyone can come see and sort of be that living room for the whole community to come together and look at some really interesting topics and have these discussions.
So you're talking about it being free for people to attend, but you have to pay for it somehow. How did you all figure out how to fund something like this?
Sure. I will also say, although it's free for everyone to attend, all artists are paid. That's the other part that's really important to us. We don't want to make this something that only wealthy artists can participate. So we were looking at a number of examples. New York Shakespeare, New York City Shakes, certainly one of the biggest sources for this. But there are other communities across the United States that have created these free Shakespeare models. So we fundraise throughout the year to produce our summer seasons over $120,000. All that can come up to about a third of the money that we need to raise. So we rely on the generosity of our communities. It's something that we hopefully people will give in advance or otherwise come see the show. And if we've really wowed you, maybe leave us a couple of dollars on your way out the door.
So how many years did it take you to get this up and running? I mean, did it take long to raise that money and get the logistics worked out?
It did. Kim Shively started back in 2018. I had just arrived to start teaching at Elon University. And Kim came up to me and said, hey, I hear you've run summer theater companies. And it's true, I have in different other parts of the country. And so we started scheming as early as 2018. We did a reading in 2019, and then the pandemic hit. And then Triad Stage closed, and we suddenly realized there was a need now. We kind of looked around to see if anyone else was going to start something new. And when that was not the case, we felt that it fell on our shoulders. We reached out to Carl Forsman in early 2024. Carl Forsman, former dean and now faculty member at UNCSA. And the three of us kind of created the structure that we can operate. And it's something where we try to remain nimble. So we do not have a home base of operations. We're very lucky that we can rehearse on the UNCSA campus, but we perform throughout the Piedmont region. And by trying to stay that nimble, we can also keep a lot of our overhead down. We are a summer-only company. We feel there's a lot of other opportunities during the rest of the year.
And as you mentioned and alluded to, two of there are basically three people, right, who run things. And two of you are at Elon the rest of the time and one at UNCSA.
Yes. And we also have a number of collaborators at UNC Greensboro and kind of expanding through the region. Although we're sort of housed in a way at some of the universities, we really are spread out more throughout multiple counties.
Explain a little bit about summer Shakespeare. Why is that a thing? I mean, you could be doing any number of different plays and playwrights. So what's the deal with summer Shakespeare?
There's this great book that came out, I want to say around 2020. It's called Shakespeare in a Divided America. James Shapiro wrote it. And was really looking into why Shakespeare in the United States? Like, there seems to be the staying power for this British playwright in the U.S. And a lot of the book examines how everyone can find something in Shakespeare. And in his book, he looks at a lot of the political divides, how both Abraham Lincoln and John Wilkes Booth were both big fans of Shakespeare, but believed very differently about some of the messaging. And so what we find is Shakespeare is sort of that everyone can find some meanings and hopefully find a little common ground, but at least find a way to have the discussion. So in Much Ado About Nothing, it's a nice, light summer comedy, and we love that. But there's also some really good points that get, you know, picked apart within the piece. You know, on the surface, the show is about this couple, a young couple who fall in love and decide that very quickly they're getting married. And then we have this middle-aged couple who, let's say, are scarred from previous relationships and therefore would rather trade barbs and insults to each other rather than maybe admit how they're feeling in something that's probably obvious to everyone but themselves. And then we have this classic villain who arrives and through some deception starts to ruin the young couple's plans. I won't go into more plot. You have to come see the whole show. But, you know, on the surface, it's this great kind of wedding comedy. But when you start looking at the piece and some of Beatrice's lines about what does it mean to be a woman?
She's the older character, right?
Yeah, she's the older female. Well, so we should say middle-aged. Kim Shively plays her. She's got these incredible lines about what are the agencies of a woman, particularly in a relationship, particularly in reference to marriage. And I think that's something that applies today as well. We started the first rehearsal by talking about pride. So, yes, it's something that you can come and enjoy, but hopefully the words will resonate and really kind of stick with you. The other reason we chose this show for the summer, besides, again, kind of wanting to do a comedy, is this is also one of the more prose-based Shakespeare pieces. I'd say about 75% of the script is prose versus poetry. So it becomes much more accessible for first-time audiences. Just a great comedy for everyone.
I'm glad you brought up the language, you know, prose versus poetry, because I think while Shakespeare still obviously has a lot that modern audiences can grab onto, for some people, the language is challenging, right? It's not completely modern English, and some of it is kind of dense, I think, with lots of interesting words, wordplay, and, you know, meter and all kinds of stuff. Do you find that audiences have any difficulties with that? And are there things that you do to try and help audiences kind of get in the rhythm of that language?
One way that we approach it is we try to produce these informational guides that if you just want to know what's the breakdown of all these characters, who's playing whom, what's their background, what's their motivation. Also, to give a little bit of a background, this is set in Messina, Italy, and to know a little bit about that historical area. But really what I found is that when someone comes to us and says, I'm not really a fan of Shakespeare, almost always it's because they tried to just read it in, let's say, that high school English class. And I have to say, it's meant to be heard. It's meant to be seen. It's you know, if you're welcome to read it and read in advance, but oh my goodness, I have to say, sitting in that first rehearsal and hearing the words come alive by actors who are professionally trained, it just makes it so much easier to follow it and to get the sense of the pacing and the flow of it and what are maybe throwaway lines or a little bit of exposition at the beginning versus what's, you know, the really witty banter between the two lovers. I just feel like you need to come see it and you need to hear it.
How did last season go? You actually did Hamlet last year, right?
Yes, we want to start with Hamlet, which is a great favorite. It went quite well for us. We had 9 performances of Hamlet throughout multiple counties. I will say one thing that we've had a change for this year, and I'm a little heartbroken about it, is last year we were performing both indoors and outdoors. But our challenge with Hamlet is of those 9 performances, 6 were outdoors. Of those 6, 4 of them were rained out. So this year we're performing all indoors, which my costume designer loves, that we are not having to worry about mud or anything else like that. Every show will be nicely air conditioned. There's all these benefits, but I am a little sad because I grew up with like outdoor Shakespeare, seeing Shakespeare on the stars. I think it's just a great way to spend a summer. But until we have maybe a longer season where we could lose a couple weekends to storms, we're going to just stay with indoors for this year.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because it seemed to me like every place on the list this year was in a building. So
it is. Yeah, it's a whole kind of range of buildings, though. So we're starting off in Winston-Salem and we'll be performing at Salem Academy and College, which hosted us last year. Actually, they have this beautiful outdoor space called the Maydell. But they were one of the places that we unfortunately got rained out. We're actually going to be in their Haynes Auditorium, which is this beautiful, large space. It's got an organ off to the side. We will not be playing the organ in the show. But we'll start there, and then we're going to head over to High Point Theater. Actually, NC Shakes, the North Carolina Shakespeare Festival, was based in High Point and often performed at the High Point Theater. So we're really fortunate to bring Shakespeare back to the High Point Theater. And then we're going to go up to Stokes County, to the South Stokes High School. We'll then go over to Burlington and we'll be at the Cummings High School and performing over Father's Day weekend there. And that's going to be one of the sites that we will have free childcare available for one of those shows. And then we'll close our run, our tour, in Greensboro, and we'll perform at the Greensboro Cultural Center in the Van Dyke Performance Space. And in that last venue, we'll have both the ASL interpreted performance and our second free childcare night. So a number of great spaces, all of them kind of really good size, really welcoming. And also we want to showcase some of the beautiful kind of gems that we have in the area.
So you're making childcare available and you're doing the American Sign Language, ASL. You do have as part of your mission to try and make things as accessible for people as possible, if I read that right, I think on your website.
That is true. That's something that Shakespeare should not be for the elite. We don't think it's a luxury. Art needs to be every day. Art needs to be public. Art is not something that you aspire to when you have a certain amount of wealth or a certain amount of free time, but it should just be something that's just a way that you can communicate with others. And so that really is what's important as we're kind of building out this organization. And for me too, I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio. I saw Shakespeare performed at the zoo. That's where I saw Shakespeare performed. So you could hear like the peacocks off in the distance, and then you've got a little Shakespeare on the stage. So it's something that we kind of take it off this pedestal and really kind of bring it forward and into essentially the homes of in the area.
So what are your plans for the future?
Sure. So we're up to 12 shows, 12 performances of Much Ado this summer. We're wanting to expand that and keep growing as we kind of meet new audiences. Down the line, we'd like to move to 2 or 3 different titles per summer. But we really want to kind of learn these communities. I think that's one of the hard things that we have is that because we're not based in just one town or one city, it's just a little harder to kind of make those friends and meet our neighbors. And so that's why we're taking our time in these first couple of years to really connect with communities. And I'm hoping also with groups. I'm hoping that, you know, folks that will invite their neighbors or to know that they've got, a church group or a retirement community or any sort of group that you might know and invite them to be part of this. Because again, it's free. It's something that should be hopefully accessible to everyone. So as we build out that network, then we look to expand our operations.
Anything else we should know about this summer or about Piedmont Shakespeare Company in general?
I'm not supposed to give away too much, but there is music in the show. So Shakespeare often performed with music. Last year, we did have a cappella singing. There will be a cappella singing this year. So first of all, for the play itself, it's entirely Shakespeare. We don't rewrite anything. We don't modernize the language. We have some flexibility, however, with the music. So the music that might be between scenes or acts, we can have a little more fun with. And hopefully people will enjoy some of the choices we've made for that. But again, we're not messing with the bard's language, but we are having some fun, especially for a comedy, when we've got those breaks between things.
Okay.
But you'll have to see it to see what I'm talking about.
And is it set like in history or is it a modern setting?
You know, so Shakespeare was kind of, I don't know if I'd say fluid, but would set something in a very particular spot in a very particular time. But then in his time period would then be dressed in contemporary clothing for the most part. We are going to be more contemporary. I think you would recognize some fashions perhaps out of the 80s or so. But we're not trying to say we're transplanting all this and everything is going to be tied to a particular year in a particular area.
Tell us what the dates are again, the date range.
We'll be in Winston-Salem on June 13 and 14, High Point on June 17, Stokes on June 18, that's in Walnut Cove, Burlington on June 20th and 21st, and then we'll close out in Greensboro June 24th through the 27th.
So most of the month of June.
Yes. Spend your June with us. Early on, I tried to find some of those wedding expos to see, like, hey, if you've got folks to see a wedding, come see this. It was actually first performed for James I's daughter's wedding, I believe. So, hey, if you're coming in town for a June wedding, hit us up. Just see us for the month of June, and we'll be gone by July 4th.
Well, David McGraw, I want to thank you so much for chatting with us today. David is the executive director of Piedmont Shakespeare Company, and they are producing Much Ado About Nothing in the Triad area, as you just heard, throughout much of June. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. I really appreciate you having me on the show.
As David mentioned, performances are free, but they encourage reservations, and patrons who make reservations will also receive information about parking, accessibility, and background information about the show. For more information, you can contact info@piedmontshakes.org, and the website is piedmontshakes.org. Next up, it's Fanfare with Phil Vavra. He has information about all the cool things there are to do for fun in coming days. So, Phil?
Thanks, Rachel. This week we have concerts, cocktails, and crafts to check out in Fanfare. The Charlotte Symphony Orchestra has a fun-filled weekend of outdoor performances. It starts with their annual free concert at Stumptown Park in Matthews on Friday, June 12th. A prelude performance begins at 7 and the symphony goes on at 8:30. Then the CSO Roadshow makes a stop at the Simmons YMCA in Charlotte for another free concert on Saturday the 13th at 6. And the Summer Pop Series continues with The Best of Broadway, featuring vocalist Susie Pepper at Symphony Park at South Park Mall on Sunday. The prelude performance by jazz singer Dawn Anthony begins at 7, and the CSO will take the stage at 8:15. The Green Room Community Theater in Newton is presenting the uproarious Four Old Broads, June 12th through 21st. This laugh-out-loud comedy follows a group of sassy Southern seniors who can't help but investigate some suspicious goings-on in their retirement home. Rated PG-13 for mature themes, language, and suggestive humor. The Greensboro Symphony Orchestra is bringing Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix to the Stephen Tanger Center for the Performing Arts on Saturday the 13th at 7 p.m. and Sunday the 14th at 3 p.m. The GSO will perform Nicholas Hooper's score live as the 2007 fantasy plays on the big screen. The Stateline Community Theater, led by Dr. David Gordon, will be performing America 250, A Musical Celebration, a free concert of patriotic orchestral favorites at Charlotte Catholic High School Fine Arts Center on Sunday, June 14th, Flag Day, at 3 p.m. Suggested donations of $10 will be gratefully accepted. The Piedmont, North Carolina chapter of the American Guild of Organists invites you to enjoy Sounds of the Summer, a five-part exploration of some of Winston-Salem's magnificent pipe organs. The first one, Downtown Classic, will feature the mid-century Schlicker organ at the First Presbyterian Church on Monday, June 15th at 7 p.m. Admission is free. Davidson Community Players are staging a production of the iconic musical Evita at the Duke Family Performance Hall on the campus of Davidson College, June 17th through 28th. Written by Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice, the musical about Argentinian political icon Eva Perón was the first British show to win the Tony Award for Best Musical. Charlotte's Optimist Hall has a new hotspot called Pollyanna. The stylish bar took over the space vacated by Billy Sunday, and it specializes in classic cocktails and some daring new concoctions. There are also several arts and crafts festivals happening in Charlotte, Concord, Blowing Rock, and Dillsboro this weekend. Details are on my complete fanfare column at WDAV.org, and it's made possible in part by Bragg Financial. Rachel?
Thanks, Phil. That's it for this week's edition of Piedmont Arts. You can catch all our episodes and keep up with our community's cultural life by subscribing at wdav.org/podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and iHeart Podcasts. Have a great week. I'm Rachel Stewart.